We'll be looking at Genesis 26, verses 12 through 25. Isaac was a man who lived in the shadows. If you think about it, he lived his life first under the shadow of his father Abraham. Then he lived in the shadow of his son Jacob. Abraham is the star of some 14 chapters of the book of Genesis. And Jacob is the central figure of another 12. But Isaac is only featured in a handful of chapters. It is only here, in this 26th chapter of Genesis, that we're allowed a glimpse into the life and the work of this man. Among the things that we note about him is that he was a man of faith. In fact, he's listed in Hebrews 11:20. Among the great heroes of the faithful. We can also see here that he, like the rest of us, was far from perfect, because he was guilty of committing some of the same sins that his father Abraham had committed. Another thing we notice about this man is the fact that he was a pilgrim. He was a pilgrim. That is, he moved from place to place, like his father, not actually owning any of the land upon which he lived. It is in his role as a pilgrim that Isaac pictures the child of God. If I may remind you today, the Bible teaches us very clearly that we, brothers and sisters, are strangers and pilgrims in this world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 tells us, the word strangers means a stranger, a foreigner, one who lives in a place without the right of citizenship. And the word pilgrim means sojourning in a strange place, a metaphor for one who sojourns on earth. In fact, the Bible tells us that every saved person is a citizen of heaven. Look at 1 Peter 1. Verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Brothers and sisters, we have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That is where our citizenship is. And he goes on to say, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are pilgrims, brothers and sisters, and today I want to examine the life of Isaac the pilgrim, because in his pilgrimage through this world, he encounters many of the same problems and he experiences many of the same blessings that cross paths with us as we journey towards glory. We're told that Isaac enjoyed a 10,000% return on his investment. What makes this all the more astounding is the fact that this occurred during the time of famine. We see in our text that there was a famine in the land. While everyone around them was going broke and starving to death, Isaac prospered. His crops flourished while the crops of others dried up. His flocks and his herds grew while the flocks and herds of others starved and died of thirst. It seemed, quote unquote, that Isaac had the golden touch. Some may have called it good luck. Others may have looked upon Isaac and wondered how he did it. But the fact of the matter is this: God was just blessing him. Isaac wasn't a better farmer than the other farmers. He didn't know more about botany or horticulture than the other men around him. But he did have an advantage. He knew God, and that translated into blessings in his life when others were experiencing defeat. You see, when the famine arose, there was evidently a temptation within Isaac's heart to flee to Egypt like Abraham had done before him. As Abraham had done before him. The sins of the father. The sins of the father. Look at verse 2 of our text. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Go not down into Egypt. Go not down. In obedience to the Lord's command, he stayed where he was in the midst of that famine. And God honored his obedience. The life of a pilgrim is a life that God provides for. God provides for us as we're going through this pilgrimage. I'd just like to point something out to every believer today. The very fact that you know God in a personal way places you in a position to enjoy his wonderful provisions in your life. You may look at your situation today and say, hey, preacher, it sure doesn't look like I'm receiving a 10,000% return on my investment. I'm saved. I'm following the Lord. I'm trying to be obedient, but I'm just about flat broke and everything in my life is falling apart. But brothers and sisters, just because God isn't paving your path with material stuff, he's not giving you money, wealth, health, diamonds, new car every year, that doesn't mean that he isn't blessing to you, that he isn't blessing you. You have to get out of looking at materialism as a blessing and look at the spiritual blessings that you have. Look at it this way. You may have it as bad or even worse than those around you who aren't saved, but you have something that they do not have. You have a personal relationship with the Lord God of heaven. What does that give you? Materialism or spiritual blessings? It says that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. The list that you have of privileges is almost endless. You have eternal salvation. You will never be lost. You have the presence of God in your life. The Holy Spirit dwells inside you. You're never alone. You have the power of God working in your life. You're never in a hopeless situation. We walk by faith. The promises of God are active in your life. You're never without hope. Many people have material possessions, but they have no hope. They're hopeless. The Word of God, you have to guide your life. You always have direction. You're never without direction. And this could go on. But you think about it. If you're saved and your neighbor is not, whose children have a better blessing? The child of the pagan or the child of the believer? What kind of value do you place on that? Would you rather have money or would you have the master? If you have the master, he will take care of all the real needs. The real needs, not your greeds. The real needs that you have in your life. Isaac enjoyed the great blessings that he did. Why? Because he was obedient to the command of God. He didn't go down to Egypt. He listened to what the Lord had said to him. The same thing holds true for you and for me. If we put God first, where he belongs, then he will see to the rest of our lives. Matthew 6, verse 33 clearly says that. It tells us, seek first God and his blessings, and all of these things will be added to you. Look at Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these spiritual blessings, brothers and sisters, will be added unto you. you may not be experiencing as many spiritual blessings as you can because you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. You're seeking your own kingdom and your own selfish greeds, not needs. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. No one said that this life would be easy. In fact, the Bible teaches just the opposite. But those who walk with God know that He is in control. They know of the unseen hand of providence. What looks like the worst disaster that you ever faced can be used of God to bring into your life some of the greatest blessings that you could have imagined. Romans 8:28 tells us that all things are working together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purposes, that who He predestinated, He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of Christ. That is the spiritual blessing, brothers. This is not materialism, even though it may come to some of us in some degree. 2 Corinthians 4:17 tells us, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." See, when I'm telling you about spiritual blessings, not material blessings, spiritual blessings, they are eternal. They're working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Isaac was a pilgrim. He had his eyes on a city, not of this world, of a city prepared by God for all of His children. Even Isaac's life wasn't filled with all blessings and glory. He fought some real battles, and so will you and I. Let's look at a couple of the battles that Isaac was required to fight. The Bible tells us that the Philistines were jealous of Isaac. Why? Because they could see the hand of God on his life. He was prospering while they're struggling. And because they were jealous, they tried to make his life hard by plugging up the wells that had been dug by his father Abraham. The king even kicked Isaac out of the country, just as it was with Isaac. The Lord's pilgrims should never expect to be accepted and understood by the world. The fact of the matter is this: the Lord tells us clearly that those who live for Him will be persecuted as they pass through this world. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That's not happy times with this world, brothers and sisters. Of course, some of the same tactics that the Philistines used against Isaac are still being employed against the people of God today. They become jealous when they can't explain or understand our peace and joy under trials. They do their best to rob us of the blessings that we have as the children of God when they see us walking by faith through this world. They'll seek to stop up the wells in our life, the wells of our life that encourage us. They'll bring discouragement, intimidation, and personal attacks. Yet the Lord said it would be this way. And He tells us to rejoice when this kind of situation arises in our lives. You are to expect persecution if you are living for God Almighty. Matthew 5, verses 10 and 12 tells us, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, rejoice, and be exceedingly glad, For great is your reward, notice, in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven, not here and now, in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So when the world turns on you, don't be surprised or don't get upset. Instead, what does it say? Rejoice in the Lord. It will make them worse, but God will be honored, and He will see you through. You are to bless those that persecute you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. That is what we're commanded to do. He faced problems, Isaac, with his wells. We already know the Philistines plugged up the wells of Abraham, but they even fought with Isaac over the new well he was digging in the wilderness. Why all of this fascination with wells? There's several reasons. The primary one being the fact that men and animals must have water to survive. In that country, being a semi-desert, water was as valuable as oil is today. In those days, all wastelands were called God's lands. If any man could live in a desert place, provide for his family and flocks, and open a well, then that land was considered to be his land, to be God's land. In other words, a well was a statement of ownership. To fill in a well was basically an act of war. These Philistines hated Isaac so much that they declared war on him by trying to seize his lands and drive him away from that which was his. Notice the fights that he had to undertake. First of all, in verse 18, it tells us he had to clean out the old wells. Many years before, his father Abraham had passed through the land and he had dug some wells of water. He dug those wells to meet needs in his day and to pass them down to his son Isaac, so that needs could be met in his days as well. The Philistines had come along and had plugged these wells to prevent Isaac from using them. Notice that the Philistines didn't want them for themselves. They just didn't want Isaac to have them, just like the world today. The world sees you blessed and they hate it. Isaac had to take the time to reopen those wells. These old wells speak to us of the spiritual resources that were uncovered and proclaimed by our spiritual fathers in days gone by. The old wells was plugged up, but Isaac reopened them. If we are not careful, the world today will destroy everything that we have been given. Many of the wells from which our fathers drank have already been stopped. Think of it. There used to be a day when God's people drank deeply from the well of praise and worship. The world has stopped that by telling us that we should not be fanatics about Jesus Christ. Our fathers opened for us the wells of the Scripture. The wells of the Scripture, the saints that have gone before us, that have preached the Word of God, that have taught the Word of God, they opened up the wells of Scripture. The Dark Ages was there up till the time of Luther and Calvin and them, and the Lord opened up the well of the Scripture for us, and we're still blessed today by those that came during the Reformation. The wells of Scripture, the wells of salvation, the wells of sanctification, the wells of service, the wells of the great fundamental doctrines of the faith. And the world has come along and tried to stop them up, even as the Philistines did with Isaac. Today, all kind of perverted doctrines, all kind of false teachers, false prophets, have come along and tried to change our beliefs, plugged up the wells of those that have gone before us. There's a need right now for God's people to redig the wells that the world has tried to stop up. We must contend for the old ways. If we do not, the old ways will die. He also had to clean out the old wells, and he also had to contend for the new wells. As he moved along in his pilgrimage, Isaac was always in the business of digging new wells. Every time he opened a well, his enemies tried to take it away from him. The water from the old wells were cool and refreshing, but more water was needed now. Therefore, new wells were dug. Three of these wells are mentioned here in our text by name. Esek, this word means contention. Sitna, this word means strife or hatred. It has the idea of laying in wait to ensnare someone. Matter of fact, the name Satan comes from the same root word as Sitna. That's where Satan comes from, the name Satan. And the last one mentioned is Rehoboth. This word means a wide open place. It was at Rehoboth that the Philistines finally left Isaac alone. At the wide open place, brothers and sisters, the well today for us is wide open. We have the scripture before us. We have prayer. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us. We must dwell at the new well that is found in Christ. Christ alone. We have all of the scripture, the Holy Spirit. We have Christ and all that he has done. Drink from the deep wells, brothers and sisters, that has been given to us. For Isaac, the pilgrimage here was one fight after another. I can guarantee you that your journey through this world will not come up without a fight as well. The journey through this world will not be pleasant without a fight. Take a moment to look around. Think about the wells, brothers and sisters. Isaac also, he had a life of provision. He had a life of problems. And the pilgrim also has a life of privileges. Isaac enjoyed the Lord's provisions in his life, and he also experienced some problems as well. But these last few verses in our text let us in on the fact that pilgrim life is also marked by privileges. Go back to Genesis 26 and look at verses 23 through 25. And he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. Brothers and sisters, take these words to heart. I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Brothers and sisters, we are of the family of Abraham. All of those that believe are of the faith of Abraham. Verse 25, and he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. The Lord appeared to Isaac, and he renewed his promises once again. There is no greater privilege than that of experiencing the Lord's presence and hearing his voice. We have been given his word to speak to us. We have been given his spirit, and he speaks to us as well. Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. My voice, and they followed me. It was the voice of God that got the attention of Elijah. When he speaks, his sheep know him. Elijah knew him. Abraham knew him. Isaac knew him. Jacob knew him. Moses knew him. Peter knew him. Paul knew him. And we can all enjoy God's words. You talk about blessings, and you would look for material blessings as opposed to spiritual blessings. And those spiritual blessings caused Isaac to worship. Isaac prepared an altar and went before his God in worship. This is a privilege enjoyed by those who know the Lord. What an honor it is to be able to enter into his presence and to worship him and to love him. All the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. John 4:23-24 tells us, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The life of a pilgrim, a life of provision, a life of problems, but yet a life full of privileges. To know God's word, to be able to worship God Almighty. Isaac was able to pitch his tent in the place God had marked off for him, and he dwelt there. He was enjoying the blessings of God even while journeying to a hostile land. It is becoming increasingly clear that God's true church is not wanted in this world. This is not our home. And the people of this world do not like us being here. But the Lord has a way of bringing his best into our lives as we travel along. What you may think is best is not necessarily what God Almighty thinks is best. There will be problems, but God will provide for us. And we will learn day by day, if we dig in to the word and to prayer, we will understand our privileges day by day. Lastly, Isaac and his servants dug a final well and enjoyed the water that flowed from it. After all the work and stopping Abraham's well, and after all the fighting over the new wells, Isaac is given a well of water that is all his. God has a way of giving us exactly what we need, just when we need it. As you pass through this world, look for you a well. The Lord said that when he saves you, he placed a well within you. Let us look at John 4, verse 14. Here is the well. Drink at the well of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I, this is Christ speaking, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Isaac knew of a well of natural water in the physical realm. Brothers and sisters, we have the well of water, of the spiritual water, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Isaac had the water to provide for the life that he lived here now. Brothers and sisters, we have the well of water that springs up into everlasting life. And that should cause us to worship and adore the Father and Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you're listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ, you know nothing of this well of water that springs up into everlasting life. You know nothing of everlasting life. All you have is this world and the things that this world has to offer, and it is all passing away. All that this world has to offer will come to an end. And then what? The scripture tells you, and then what? it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And the scripture says that apart from Jesus Christ, that you stand condemned. But the gospel says that you can come, that you can come to Christ today. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do, you shall be transferred from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of his everlasting Son. You can change by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ from a state of condemnation and death and hell into justification and new life, forgiveness of sins, eternal life. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life, into everlasting life. Come to the well of Jesus Christ today. Drink of Christ today. Come and see, taste, drink at the fountain, at the well of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, repent and believe, and you shall be saved.